advancing civilization. You don't have a handout, hold your hand up and we'll give you a handout. All right. Any more? All right. Brother Paul.
It's great to be back in Huntsville. I've been here for 15 years. They invited me every year, and I spoke every year, except when I couldn't get down here by the plane. So I gave the discourse over the telephone. Remember that, Jim? And I miss Jack Lamb, even though he's not here. His family's here. I miss him. He was the one that introduced me to this class. I'm grateful for that. World changes. We have to ask the question, is God behind them? Now we got points of view on this. Some would say yes, and some say no. But the changes in the world are incredible, overwhelming, so overwhelming that the people are asking, what's happening? They sense something is excitingly right, but they can't figure out when it is terribly wrong. We seem to be a civilization in transition, and the civilization is perplexing. We're like a piece of wood in a swift stream of water being battered here and battered there, and we are washed here and washed there, and the cross currents are in a torrent. We ask, where are we going, Lord? And we raise the question with amazing paradoxes that emerge. We're speaking of this period right here, friends. Right here. We are between two civilizations. A civilization that's going out and a civilization that's coming in. And I use the word civilization as a totality. Not just the Hebrews, the Jews, or the Americans, but a totality. We see on the one hand air and water pollution. On the other hand, we see a great scientific achievements of irrigation, land reclamation, and land usage. On the one hand, we see poverty. On the other hand, we see prosperity. On the one hand, little education for character building. On the other hand, gigantic educational systems and knowledge-producing centers. My wife is doing this, but I got to tell her, some of the brethren can't hear. On the one hand, we continue, and crime increases, and on the other hand, major advances in human relations and how to get along with people. On the one hand, we see drug addiction and food poisoning. On the other hand, great medical advances and complete eradication of some diseases. On the one hand, a sense of disgust and despair, and on the other, exciting glimpse of development of a new world. A new world is coming in, brethren. Recognize it. On one hand, we see married priests, atheistic ministers, and Jewish Buddhists. On the other hand, we see children at the age of 12, no longer childlike. We see psychiatrists prescribing God's love. Can you imagine that? Science prescribing God's love? Now turn to page 2. I'm going to go through this with you, and if I don't get through with it, there's a point to each illustration. I think you'll get it yourself. So if I can't speak to it, I think you will. Now, we like to think that this is a dynamic chart. It is, but it's conceptually dynamic. The details are not there. This looks like a photograph. And you think everything is still staying the same. It's not. It's moving. It's a dynamic, changing concept of world history. But I said, we're going to be centering in on this right here. This is the plan of the ages, which call a period of the time of the end. It will be breakdowns, disorder, destruction, misrule, anarchy. They call this period the time of the end. There must be a necessity of a time of the beginning. If something is ending, it had a beginning. This is God's way of perfecting His creation. The world seems to be oscillating back and forth, mystifying the trends, clouding the predispositions. We wondering, where is civilization going? What's happening? Why are we so divided? Why do two worlds exist? Why do we see darkness while the sun is still shining? And friends, I want to base my remarks on Isaiah 21:11-12, which describes the period we are in. Let me read it to you. It will clarify our perspective. This is what it says. Watchmen, what of the night? What do you see? The watchman responds, the morning cometh, and also the night. The morning cometh, and also the night. The morning cometh, and also the night. There'll be a time in which there will be both a night and morning. Ever look at it outside your house at 5 o'clock in the morning? What do you notice? Black. Dark. But it's a new day. It's a new day, even though it's dark. It's a dichotomy of light and darkness. We are living in that period of transition. In the next 20 years may be the most decisive period of the human race. The world is uprooting its foundations and new seedlings are coming. We see death camps, cremations in Central Europe and places used as missiles to destroy the world. We also see that Neil Armstrong waiting on the moon, Louise Brown, the first human to be conceived outside of the human body. The world suggests to you and examining in this transition period. That's what we're in. We call it the harvest. And that is so. That is so. It is a harvest, but it's a transition that's occurring in which every Christian becomes a professional watchman. Are you a watchman? The apostle tells us in 2 Timothy 2:4-5, watch thou in all things. Watch, observe, survey. No, this is the responsibility of Christians. I read two newspapers every day. One, I read the New York Times and the local papers, and then I read a weekly news, the Time magazine. And I look through them, I scan them always for things that are biblically oriented. Hence, we ask, watchmen, you're all watchmen, what do you see? Do you see nothing out there? Or do you see something? And if you see something, what is it? The Christians are always willing to report what they see. If we collect the reports, we can put them into categories. There are four reports we're asking that these watchmen can deliver. So we're going to give them the privilege, and we're going to call this Group 1, Group 2, Group 3, and Group 4. We're going to collect reports from four groups as to what they see. On page 4. The first group says, I'm sorry, page 3. The first group says, there's the world. I see nothing happening. The world hasn't changed in centuries. The world is static. The world hasn't changed. And so he says, I see nothing, and the world continues that I always say. History is repeating itself. We are reliving history. We haven't learned from history, so we are doomed to relive it. Events are just drifting along, and there's an occasional spectacular, a war, an abdication, a scientific, but for the most part, things are the same. The first group reacts that way because they have no expectations, no anticipations. They are not future-oriented. Or if they are, they're so far in the future that it has no meaning for the present. Really, they are not discriminating watchmen. Remember Isaiah 5:5-6? We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Let us not sleep as do others. You know, some people can't see the trees from the forest. And some people can't see the forest from the trees. And there are still others who don't know what both a tree or a forest is. This group eventually falls out of the watching function and just drifts along. In many ways, they have lost the way. It's because their lamps are not trimmed and burning, and as in Matthew 25, the parable of bride, they have no light. They cannot see. This group sees nothing because they lost the most exciting part of the Christian experience, the prophetic experience. The first group doesn't know what God is doing. They ignore prophecies because it's too controversial. And prophecies are controversial. To augment, they refuse to stick their necks out because they're afraid it might be cut off. The skies over the many biblical texts that the Lord has provided and thus lose a sense of purpose. So therefore, I'm going to put down for the first group, they see nothing. Zero. Things are the same as it was for the past 150,000 years, whatever. Now, the Bible contains 31,124 verses, and 8,352 are prophetic utterances. To ignore these prophecies is to ignore 27% of God's Word. Friends, of prophecies are so overlooked that you don't want to be deal with them. Thus, the first group of watchers see nothing because they are not expecting anything. They see nothing because they're just drifting along. See nothing because they have no light to see the way. So let's get to the second point. That's page 4. The second group who react to the question, what is the night, what do you see? This group sees many things, but they're all negative. Disasters, calamities, strife, threats, starvation, violence, earthquakes, killing, or terrorism. They report what a terrible world we live in. They report the world is coming to an end. They even quote scriptures. They say, beware of the light at the end of the tunnel. It might be a headlight of an oncoming train. They say, beware of the light. For example, this group is quick to point out that the world's economic systems are not working for good of all mankind. Boy, this is so affecting the entire world. I just had a picture that was in Jerusalem, and it was done in Jerusalem, of the Jews falling into the streets like the Libyans, you know, and complaining about the government as it's charging too much for everything. And I was surprised that the Jews were doing it. But Libyans are doing it. Tunisians are doing it. The Yemenis are doing it. Everybody's running in this. And we're going to do it in the United States? Maybe. Our price is too high? I don't have to convince you of that. The economic systems that I'm working for, the good of all working people. There are enormous injustices, and people see their fixed income coming to an end. This group of discontents cuts across all religious groups, political affiliations, and social classes. You know how many religions there are in the United States, registered religions? Over 50,000. 50,000 registered religions. It's no wonder. I'm surprised the panel didn't discuss the New Age group, the New Age movement. The New Age movement is a movement in which there is no God. You know why? Because you are God. That's their philosophy. You are God. And if you want to change things, you should do it. And they often have sweaters. Do it. You ever noticed that? Do it. Don't be too surprised if demonstrations in front of an abortion clinic to find Catholics, Protestants, Lutherans, Baptists, representatives, Republicans, Democrats, and even atheists demonstrating in front of an abortion clinic. They band together to resist what they feel is an immoral issue. Changes in the traditional morality are not accepted by the discontents. Nationwide, there are seminars conducted to teach how to be an effective activist and how to convince others to join the movement. Last year alone, 78 seminars were held with 5,000 people. It's like taking the Taliban in Afghanistan. They teach hundreds of how to kill Americans and Jews, and they don't teach love. And anti-abortionists teach others how to stop the killing of fetuses. It is the second group in the report in here to see the horizon of Armageddon. This second group says Armageddon is coming. Revelation 16:16 is a term long known by students of Scripture. It's a term that suggests the cataclysm of them all. Jesus says in Matthew 24:22, except those days are shortened, no flesh will be saved. Jesus said this. There are no interpretations of this, and those are the words you have to challenge. He says, except those days are shortened, no flesh will be saved. Zechariah adds to that, the 13th chapter of Zechariah. Zechariah says, two-thirds of the world population will vanish, and one-third will remain. That's the remnant. Read it. In Zechariah, 13th chapter, near the end of the chapter, and the beginning of the 14th chapter. The issues, the conflicts, the confrontation, their immoralities are big enough, critical enough, and explosive enough to involve nations and societies on a global scale. Let me give you some features of the old world. Now, I've already introduced the concept that this is an old civilization here. This is an old civilization. And this is a new civilization starting here. And we're talking about the interface. Old civilization, new civilization. And this is at the edge of the two. Let me give you some features of the old civilization. 7 billion people, 2 billion drink unsafe water. Forests are vanishing. I'm on page 7, by the way. I don't want you to take notes. It's already there. 7 billion people, 2 billion drink unsafe water. Forests vanishing, CO2, carbon dioxide heavy in the air. 140 plants extinct each year. 35,000 chemicals in aquifers and water. Only 50% of the cities have Jewish plants. I've been many times to Nigeria, and Ghana is not so bad. Ghana is cleaning up very nicely. But Nigeria, I remember going to Nigeria where they had the sewers right in the front of the house coming out, right? Worldwide economic system is not working. There are discontents in every aspect of life. Armageddon is still a world threat. We haven't hit Armageddon yet. Remember one thing about Armageddon. It's anarchy. Anarchy. Both, you know, if you want to argue, it could be a war. There could be a war in there, but the word Armageddon is anarchy. The people going against the governments. They refuse to obey the government. They refuse the laws. So we haven't had that yet, except in some parts of the world. anarchy lawlessness is emerging as seen by the immigration issue. The Mexicans are coming into the United States illegally and ignoring their laws. Others are gay marriages, spread of the AIDS, abortions. 3,231 women have abortions in one day in the United States. Teenage pregnancies. 2,740 teenagers get pregnant daily in the United States. Drunken drivers, 100 million in accidents yearly. 90 million cars have been consumed in one day. Premarital sex, hold your hats. 70% of women were not virgins on their wedding night. Famous actress, and we had some famous people recently. Married men, 50% had at least one extramarital sex during marriage. During marriage. Divorce rate in the United States is 50% and increasing. 1.53 million couples living together unmarried. Priests, get this now, 20% in good standing have sexual activities. Other priests, 50% are homosexuals and 50% heterosexuals. Dioceses, three, but increasing, have filed bankruptcy. This is a protection from the pedophile issues. Catholic Church, Matt Helton in his book claims Vatican worth $100 billion. Catholic Church is worth $100 billion. Jesus born in manger. Christian ministers uncovering of their sexual activities such as Baker and Swagger. I can hardly read my notes. United debt per capita went from 4,000 per person to 20,000 in 15 years. That's a crippling effect. 50% of the world's biggest banks, 35 in the United States and Europe, 15 in Japan, and they're all in trouble. Hang on to your money. Put it in your mattress. You know, you may not get any interest, but you preserve its principle. Nuclear warheads. Russia has 6,000. USA has 2,500. China has 400. Israel has 200. In 5,500 years of recorded history, civilization has only had 300 years of peace. Microprocessors. You may not know what microprocessors are, but they are small gadgets that make things automatic. And there are 50 billion in society. Like the lights go on automatically at night. You don't have to turn on a switch. It goes on automatically. But microprocessors fatigue and get old, and they break down like they did in Pennsylvania. The Cold War between the Democrats and the Republicans, the existing hate between the two is apparent. Greenhouse effect. China and its 200 million soldiers has declared war on Taiwan, who wants independence. And we're connected, the United States, the United States is connected with Taiwan. China is growing three times faster than the United States. Wage rates have gone from 25 cents an hour to $2.25 an hour. Our present level of civilization is not working. It can be argued it's truly repulsive. Toynbee, the famous historian, has said roughly 24 civilizations in history have come and gone because they're not working. It constantly changed. I think I give you a picture of that. Page 4, you see where all those arrows are? These are all the different kinds of governments that we have had. Democracy, absolutism, communism, fascism, anarchism. The Lord allowed these things to go. Try it. Go ahead. Take the government you want. See if it'll work. None of them have worked. They're all gone, or they're in the process of going. Incidentally, you notice the picture there from India. You see the one in India? It's no wonder you can't get through to India. That's a wiring system. So the second group labels Islam versus Christianity and Judaism. Terrorism are religious extremists. They have targeted 80 jihadists. These are 80 places that will look like New York. What is it that Islamists want? The Islamics want to convert the world to Islam. That's no new secret. That's pretty open. Right now, the fastest growing religion in India and China is Islam. You know why it's the fastest? It's because it's the easiest road to heaven. You tell them, well, you got to kill somebody and you go to heaven. Islamics want to cleanse all the non-believers of Muslim countries. Islamics want Israel out of Jerusalem. This is sacred to them. Islamics want women as second-class citizens and complete covered their face as well. If you were in one of the 24 Arab countries, you women would have to wear a veil in public. I never realized and appreciated that. I guess they don't want you to be beautiful to some of the men. I think that could be it. So, the second group quotes Isaiah 24:18-19. The earth is utterly broken down. The earth is thoroughly dissolved. The earth is moving exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard. That's the report of the second group. And I'll put down, they are negative. They see everything as negative. Now we come to group three. This group reacts differently. This group sees many things of a positive nature. Great scientific advances, economic abundance and affluency, major medical advances and cleanup, gigantic educational systems, improved human relations. Third group observes that we are at the beginning of a new world. They observe small starts, small roots, and small. They observe the seeds of a new age. And you can get that picture on. Five. Oh no, five belongs to two.
Okay.
It's so bad. I gave you a picture of what the city would look like if Armageddon were blasted. And you notice the components of imperfection, poor knowledge and understanding, unwanted enemies, genetic health and weaknesses, mismatched social and government difficulties, family upbringing, and so forth, personal mistakes. These are all reasons for that. So let's take group three now. That is page six. We said that group three gives the world a positive view. Page number nine, they observe small starts, small roots, small, and observe the seeds of a new age. Scriptures are cited to give them a watchful, a sense of hope, a sense of excitement, a sense of well-being, a sense of progress. Scriptures are cited a new world coming in, a new period for mankind, as described in Acts 3:21. Times of refreshment shall come from the presence of the Lord. Do you know there is times of refreshment coming in now? The third group is quick to point out the curses of the plague have many, many ways have been lifted. Page 10. No, we got to go to page 7. I've given you seven waves of technology in history, beginning with the agrarian age to the literary interplanetary age. Now you see Edison there. We had a little discussion about Edison. He was not only one who predicted the demise of the horse for transportation, but he was the one who invented the light bulb. I'll tell you something more he did. He destroyed the darkness. If it wasn't for him, you would be sleeping when it's dark and waking up when it's light. So we're now into the new world features. White man's supremacy is ending. The blacks, the browns, the yellows are emerging. Wives are becoming participators with the husbands. That's where we are now. And three, colonialism and slavery is disappearing. Four, divine rights of kings are gone. Kings are disappearing. All this trouble you see in these Arab countries like Libya and Syria's coming up next. But they're all going out because there's going to be no kings on the planet Earth with the Lord Jesus. There's only going to be one king, and that's Jesus. So the other kings have got to go. And apparently this is the way the Lord's going to do it. They're going to go. The Lord's not going to step in and just kill them. It's the people that's going to get rid of them. Social class is crumbling. The blue books are gone out. Globalization is emerging. Communications everywhere in the world. High technology never before experienced. Man on top of Mount Hood talked on the cell phone to his friend in Cluj, Romania. I was interested in that question about the telephone. The telephone was much earlier than Marconi. But because it was the wires, telephone with wires. But wireless telephone was Marconi. He was the inventor. It was wireless. And now you can use those little hand, what they are is radios. That you have, the little things you put in there, see everybody doing them. Marconi uses Italian, by the way. But the phone company had wires. That was earlier. Incidentally, you might be interested to know Marconi was born in 1874. Globalization is emerging. By the word globalization, meaning no borders. One earth. One world. High technology never before experienced. Genetic engineering can expand semen 3 feet or more. Three feet or more. Salmon right now is about that, but genetic engineering can really blow up. Restoration of Israel and smaller nations, although Israel's going to have some problems. I'll talk about that in a minute. No, I'll talk about it right now. There's a new group that has emerged in Israel called the Sanhedrin. Now, you know the Sanhedrin. That was established by Moses. There's 70 of them. They have returned. In 2004, they have organized formally 70 Hebrew people with their synagogues have joined the Sanhedrin. And I want to tell you what some of the things they want to do. They want to bring in all the rest of the Jews from the rest of the world. They want to find the lost tribes of Israel and bring them back to Israel. That's number one. Number two, they want to build a temple. And in building the temple, they got all the characteristics of it, and they got all the equipment for it. They want to do that. Number three, they want to be the High Court of Israel. In other words, they want to discuss the moral issues and decide on those things. And number five, Number five, Oh, I forgot. Okay. So, Israel is, they're going to be, it's going to be a problem with the government of Israel and the Sanhedrin. It'll be extreme. Can you imagine that they're going to tell the government when they're going to put that temple up? And so that's a big problem. Dramatic increases in rights and liberties of people that never seen before. Evil is being exposed as never before. We're talking about the third group now. This is their report. Increase of travel. There are 60 million cars every day on the road. 60 million cars. The flying car is coming. I give you a picture of that. I think I do.
Yeah. Page 6.
Okay, page 6. You see the flying car? That's what it's going to look like. The wings expand out when they're ready to fly, and they fold up when they're driving along the road. The most important thing we want to bring up between these groups is that the old world is going out. It's not going to stay. We all know that. It's future, because we're all future-oriented. But it's split right now, and they're overlapping. So you can't tell the difference. Well, where are we in? And that's what this period of time is. We can't tell. We know it's the harvest, but we can't tell where we're in there and there, because they overlap. So we're talking about the one world. There's the new world features. 20 new drugs by Pfizer will come in 5 years to treat diabetes, heart disease, obesity, hypertension, and so forth. Now, I'm going to ask you, what's the greatest invention that you know of that has come down? Anybody want to react to that? The greatest invention, the telephone? Go ahead, Jim.
Well, I heard you say it was a grocery store.
Think about it. It's not the telephone. It's not the radio. It's not the fancy car. It's the shopping centers or the supermarkets. Think about that. You can go into a supermarket, get yourself a carrot, and you can have almost anything that comes out around the world. It's been oranges from Israel, silk from China, bananas from the South America, anything you want. You're a farmer. You don't have to grow those things. You just go to the farm. And at the reasonable prices, these are very reasonable prices, you know. So that's my view. The greatest invention is the supermarket. And almost every city has them now. You don't find any big city that doesn't have them. Now, what other globalization features? One calendar, there's one calendar. All the countries operate on one calendar. They don't have all the individual calendars. And one type of traffic stoplights. The traffic stoplight, you go and see red, green, yellow, and so forth. It's all over the world that way. One musical language or expression of variety. One style of clothing. The post office will deliver your mail anywhere on planet Earth. You know, that's such a wonderful thing. But it says that the world is becoming one. The borders are being ignored. I remember when I was working in Israel, and we went to France, and we crossed over to Switzerland. We didn't have to stop and show our passports. Just salute them, say hello, and go on. The border was nothing. I'll bring you a couple more things. We talked about Marconi being the Italian inventor of radio and wireless communication. His inventions were based on cell phone. Now, he didn't invent his cell phones per se. He was the inventor of wireless communications, which you get through TV and so on. But it was Dr. Cooper of Motorola Company who invented, who's got the patent for the wireless cell phone. I'm giving up something else that's impressive. Book printing and compulsory education were the forerunners of wisdom and civilization. There are estimated 2.5 billion books printed. Knowledge is doubling 5 to 6 years. Every 5 to 6 years it doubles. College degrees means you have knowledge, but not necessarily wisdom. Good instruction start of the beginning is of wisdom. Wisdom is the best application of available knowledge, the growth from Hartford. Wisdom is essentially practical, no theories, guesses, or conjectures. Wisdom is used for problem solving. Wisdom gives enough knowledge and talent to know the difference between what is important and what isn't. One more. How many have heard of Otis? Raise their hands. I'm just curious. Only one has heard of Otis. Don't just look at the other. There's two. Three. Four. Oh, they're all beginning to remember who it is. In the elevator, you see his name, Otis. If I ask you, what did he invent? You say, the elevator. He invented the skyscraper. The skyscraper. Right now, you know, Brother Russell calculated length and width. Length and width. He did not calculate the verticality. Length and width, he said, oh, most of the people born will fit in the state of Texas. But with verticality, you know what he did, what Otis did? He enlarged the Earth's capacity. It went from 200 million square miles to a million square miles. 200 million to 1,100,000 square miles. And if you add the moon to it, the people are preparing to go to the moon. The big hotels are already got land claim that they'll want to give sell to the Americans for one week vacation in the moon, and somebody's selling them land and going to the moon. Some of you may be able to. So these are this. These inventions that we talked about are great, and we're living in a time when these G3, the group 3, is positive. They view the world as positive. They view the world as negative. They can't see any changes. We've got to get to group 4. We're living in a civilization that is a transitional civilization between two ages. We're living in one age that's going and one age that's coming. In the next two decades, we will experience the most revolutionary period of mankind. 80% of the scientists that ever lived lives today. 80% of all the scientists that ever lived is living today. We've never dreamed of what we are already experiencing. Computers that outperform calculations of mathematicians. We live in the period where Louise Brown conceptualized in a tube, in a test tube, not in the womb. In a test tube, she was conceptualized the first time that ever happened. The curse of the Jews, we're coming to the end here, aren't we? The curse of, where's that chairman? What do we got, another 10 minutes?
10 or 12 minutes.
Okay. The curse of limited life and limited longevity is described in Psalms 91c. You know, the Bible claims, and I think it's been proven, that man won't live more than 120 years. 120 years. But there was an article in the New York Times just recently of a woman in France that lived 122 years. I was curious about that. That can't be right. You know, the Bible's not wrong. The Bible says 120, that's the limit. So I made some inquiries here and there, and I found out that she was 2 years in the bed. Her last 2 years were in bed. She was not living quite well. You know, she was very, very ill, 122 years. So we are living ways naturally different from the time. Many traditional problems are being eliminated. Divine rights of kings are going. Monarch, if not already gone. Monarchs are disappearing. Aristocracy. Superstitions. The restoration of Israel as a nation. Matthew 21:29. Restoration of many smaller countries. Matthew 21. Dramatic increase in the rights of people. Restitution of all things as in Acts 3:20-21. So we put down here, what is group four claiming? They say, we see all three operating here. Some parts of the world is zero, some parts of the world is negative, and some parts is positive. Group four declares all four parts. And it reminds me of the three blind men were asked to describe the elephant. So the blind men just can only see the part. Can I give you a picture on that? No, I guess not. So one blind man was feeling around the field with the tail. He said, the elephant is like a rope, because that's all the part he's got. And another one's feeling around and feels this great big foot. He says, no, the elephant is more like a pillar. And the third blind man is feeling around the wall. He says, no, the elephant is like a big wall. Three blind men, they're blind. They can't see. But they see the part that they're in. They're correct in the part, but they're incorrect in the totality. They can't see the totality. And so this group four says, I see all parts. You know, that's the biggest problem with Christendom today. They see the Baptists get a hold of baptism. Episcopalian get a hold of something else. And each have part of it. We see the Bible as a total totality. Group four, and that's the group I suggest to you, that we see an old world coming to an end. We don't see the end of the world. We see a new world coming in. We see a new civilization coming in. They see new changes that are off where the old is moving out and the new is coming in. The passing of the old age. The reason for seeing the features of night as well as the features of morning is that there is overlapping between the two. So that two periods of time exist at the same time. This is similar, if you recall, the overlap between the Jewish age and the Gospel age. It was overlapping between those two ages, too. Jesus, the first advent, introduced the features of the Gospel age and the New Age. Friends, let me bring this to an end. It's the plan of God that gives us the logic. But remember, the plan of God is not static. It's dynamic. It's changing, especially in this area right here. And we're privileged to see that change is going on. We've got to stand back. To be number four, you've got to stand back and look at the totality. Look at the overall. The elephant is like a tail if you got that part. The elephant is like a wall if you got that part. Stand back and see the whole picture. Where we've been, where we're now, and where we're going. There's a new world emerging and our lives are being suppressed. In summary, humankind is living at the junction of two civilizations, one going out and one coming in. People don't see the world coming in because they are focusing on the crumbling world going out. The transition is producing features of night as well as features of morning. Finally, there is overlapping, and overlapping nature of these two civilizations, there is some of the overlapping nature of the Judaic age and the Christian period. The upheavals and changes of the body today are the result of the redirection of the human race. There's a new world emerging in our lives, and blind men everywhere is trying to suppress it. But there's also the old world moving out, and blind men everywhere are trying to continue it. The new world is a new vibration, a new uncovering, the greatest thing that could happen to the human race now. May God continue with his plan.
Thank you, Brother Paul. May we be watchmen. May we see all of this taking place. God's going to reveal it to us if we're watching and if we're praying and we're searching for truth. He'll come to us in our due time.